I want to get into the latter part of the book of Revelation today, especially dealing with the Battle of Armageddon, what happens there, some of the mysteries that are really opening up. So I want to jump right in. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 13. This is midway point. As you know, there is going to be a 7-year tribulation. That is a fact. It's going to commence when the Antichrist, which will be a world power, he will sign a covenant treaty with Israel. He'll actually broker that treaty for 7 years with the Palestinians and maybe some of the Arab nations around Israel. There'll be a 7-year peace treaty that will commence the 7 years. Once that takes place, there is very specific timing that the Bible outlines. It's defined as 3.5 years or 42 months. Or a time, times, and half a time, all of that, or 1260 days, speaks of 3.5 years. Those 3.5 years are defined very specifically, and very specific things happen, and we've looked at that. At midway point, very specific things happen. We looked at that last week, especially God emptying the second heaven. That was very powerful in chapter 12, because the devil and his archangels, they operate in the second heaven. We know that because he's the prince of the power of the air. We know that because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness. Where? In heavenly places. Not where God dwells in the third heaven, but they operate in the second heaven. They will operate until midway point of the tribulation. They will get cast down. Michael the archangel will throw them out. That's the beginning of their judgment. In fact, it says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is cast down unto you." That's that final 3.5 year period when the devil gets cast down. He actually inhabits the Antichrist, an unholy trinity that's established by the Antichrist, the devil, and the false prophet. And that's when it really gets heavy. Now, what I want to do today is get further into what the mark of the beast and what's actually going to happen in that final 3.5 years. Then I want to get into the Battle of Armageddon. Then I want to get into the angels of God that come and sever the wicked from the earth, because he's going to take them all out in one fell swoop. And then what's going to happen in the 1,000-year millennial reign. All right, now what I want to do is go back into the mark of the beast. I'm going to show you what's happening in that final 3.5 year period. We know in that final 3.5 year period, the first 3.5 years, we know that the 144,000 witnesses were being prepared and sealed while the two witnesses were ministering on a global level for 3.5 years. These guys have the anointing of Moses and the anointing of Elijah. It's so powerful, it's going to have a worldwide effect for 3.5 years. Now, the final 3.5 years, we saw at that 3.5 year mark that God ordains those 144,000 in an eyewitness state. The Lord stands with them on a mountain and he ordains them and commissions them into the harvest field for 3.5 years. That's his witness. There's going to be 144,000 Jews that are marked by God, that are sealed in their forehead, and they're going to be powerful. They're like 144,000 Apostle Pauls being released into the earth during the most devastating time of all humanity and all history, really. So let's get back just a minute into the mark of the beast. I want to show you what's going to happen during that 3.5 year period. Now let's go to Revelation 13. Let's look at the mark of the beast. This is midway point. It's directly after the Antichrist comes in. He breaks the treaty. He commits the abomination of desolation. He walks into the temple and he declares himself God in the temple. He causes all the sacrifices to cease. And from that period on, and this is happening actually right after midway point, this pole right here represents the first day the treaty is signed, right? This middle section represents 3.5 year mark. Lots of things happen in the exact 1260th day. There's 4 or 5 major events. And then this pole represents the Battle of Armageddon, the final day of that 7 years. So Revelation 13, now what happens right after he declares himself God, the devil's thrown out of heaven. God empties the second heaven. Why is he doing that? Because he's getting him ready for his final judgment. He's going to get 3.5 years to reign. The Bible says he's given 42 months to exercise his will on humanity, which is exactly 3.5 years. That's when the devil's thrown out, he inhabits the Antichrist. Just like Christ, the Father, inhabited Christ. See, it's the devil's plan to corrupt all that. And so once he does that, he's given exactly 42 months, 1260 days, a times, times, and half a time. When he does that, the false prophet comes in and joins with them for 3.5 years, and he does mighty signs and wonders, and he helps establish what's called the mark of the beast. So Revelation 13:15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak, this is the false prophet, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Should be killed. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, but had the mark. Now, this is the final 3.5 years. This is very interesting. God marks 144,000 witnesses on their forehead. You'll know them because it'll be written. It's a very unique time in human history. But during this time, the mark of the beast is established. The world will be forced to wear that mark. The world will be forced to bow down and give their allegiance to the beast. And they will be marked either on their wrist or their forehead. And those who will not be marked, they're going to die. The Bible's very clear about it. We're going to look at some of these because it talks about 4 or 5 times. And they will not be able to buy, sell, or get gain. The world, they will not. You even have a choice. During this time frame, it's not would you like to receive the Lord? And you'll think, well, I'll think about it. You either have a choice. You either receive the mark of the beast or die. That's the only choice. Period. That's a hard time. Go to Revelation 14. Now, very interesting. This is when the Lord called up those 144,000 upon that mountain. He gives them the eyewitness and he commissions them with a series of angels that come out with their message. And this is the third angel that comes out. They're flying around them in midair. These angels are flying around. If you get this picture, 144,000 standing on a mountain with the Lord. And these angels, one comes out, he has the everlasting gospel. Another one comes out and says, Babylon has fallen, Babylon. These are the messages the 144 will carry during this final 3.5. Now this third angel comes out and listen to what he says. Hallelujah. Verse 9 of Revelation 14. Verse 9. Now here are the 144 standing on this mountain. These angels are coming out in a commissioning service like no other commissioning ever. And God's commissioning is 144,000. This third angel comes out with their final message that they're going to release during this time frame. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God. Verse 11. And the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever. And they that have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Do you understand that? In other words, if you take the mark, there's no going back to God for mercy. So if someone takes that mark, there is no mercy going to be granted after that. It's an eternal mark. Once it's marked, and that's why 144 go out with this message, you cannot receive that mark. Blessed are those that receive the Lord and die in the Lord from this point on, because that's your only choice. All humanity that will get born again, one of the greatest harvests in human history will happen in this time frame. It's a time of trembling for the world. It's the time of the greatest wrath ever poured out. And God's church will not be here, but his 144,000 witnesses will. And it'll be a huge harvest. And most of them, very important, I'm establishing all this for a very specific reason. Most everyone that gets born again in this time frame, this final 3.5, will die in the Lord. Very few will make it alive. That's the choice they have to make. Receive the Lord or die. There's no other choice. There's only going to be two kind of people in there. Those who have the mark of the beast, those who are marked by God. You have really three. You have ones who have the mark of the beast. You have the 144,000 witnesses that are sealed, and those that receive the Lord and they die, because the Antichrist immediately commences to their destruction. Go to Revelation 13. Revelation 7, we've looked at this, so I'm going to just bypass this. We looked at the harvest of these 144,000. An elder in heaven calls John up, and John sees this whole sea of people. And his elder calls him up. He says, "What are you looking at, John? Who are all these people?" And John goes, "You know us." And he says, "These are those that came out of the great tribulation, this final 3.5 year period. They came out of this time, and they're up in heaven now. One of the greatest harvests of all human history, those that had exercised authority in God over the mark of the beast, and they gave their life for it." So we see there's a lot of people. Revelation 13, look at verse 5. "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things." This was the Antichrist. "And power was given unto him for 42 months. Power, he's given power over the saints, the Bible says. Verse 7, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to," what? "Overcome them." During that time, there's not going to be the overcoming church. You receive God and you die. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? The overcoming church is right after this poll right here. It's that 1,000 years. But something good happens with these people. Verse 8, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," speaking of the Antichrist, "whose names are not written in the book of life." You see that? There's only two kind of people there. You got the witnesses. You have those that have received the mark, that are worshiping the mark of the beast. See, the devil's always wanted humanity to worship him. So God's going to give him what he wants for 3.5 years, and he's going to give all the nations what they want. They want a man to worship, he's going to give it to them. He's going to come down the earth. When he inhabits Antichrist, the false prophet's going to join him, and they're all going to command. But see, here's the devil. He's going to demand that worship. You worship me or you die. It's like the ultimate battle of all things. Give your allegiance to God or give it to me, but there's no in between. You see that? This 3.5 year period, there's no in between. There's no gray area. You're either going to worship the devil or worship God. Right now, those choices are not on us like that. But then it will be on the world. It'll be forced on you. You don't get to say, "Well, give me a minute. Let me wait on it. Maybe, maybe not." No, take it or die. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Now, before this poll over here, this first one, something happens before this 7 years starts. The church, you and I, as we know it, the age of the Gentiles is over. At the rapture or the catching away, the church will be caught up. We shall not all sleep or die. Not everyone's going to die a death. We're living in a generation, my friends, that we're not going to have to die a natural death. And we're going to get caught up with the Lord in the air. No other generation's been like that. Only few men in all of history have received resurrections like that. Enoch and Elijah. That's what Paul was wanting there, if you want to get into it. In Philippians chapter 3, he was trying to obtain a resurrection like Enoch and Elijah did. But the church gets caught up. Those who are walking with him, not the carnal, not the ones that say they love God and live for the world. No, no, no. They get caught up. And all of a sudden, then the Antichrist is given his position to broker that treaty, and God establishes those two witnesses, and they have a worldwide impact. They're given some extreme power by God. And then he establishes 144,000. So the church gets caught up. We're going to be in heaven watching all this. That's why you want to stay very close to God. This is not a time to play around. But people think like that. "Oh, I'll do it when?" Hey, you don't know when that catching away. Because that's the imminence factor of God. He's going to come when you thinketh not. The problem with people who believe he's coming in the middle of this time frame, every bit of this time frame is marked specifically. 3.5 years is marked. The final 7 years is marked. And if he comes, it takes away the imminence factor because you know when he's going to come in this 7 year period because everything's marked by days. But before that, you don't. Now, he is going to come a second time in that 7th year. That's when he's coming with all of his saints. That's going to be a glorious ride. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be right next to him. I want to live my life for him now because I want to ride right next to him. 10,000 times 10,000. If it's like, what a glorious time. We're coming back with him. Okay, go to Revelation 20. Let me finish this part. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. Verse 4. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received the mark upon their foreheads. You see that? Beheaded. That was the choice. It's a crazy 3.5 year period. So, we see the church was lifted out. We've seen all those that are coming to the Lord during this period, and there's a host of them you can read about later in Revelation 7. Multitudes like the sand of the sea being born again and martyred on the spot. A great slaughter during that time, and God gives the Antichrist power over everybody. It's not like this victorious church. It's not like that during that time. It's victorious from heaven's point of view, but from the world's point of view, it's receive the Lord, blessed is he that dieth in the Lord. It's sobering, isn't it? All right, let's now move towards, with all that established, I established that for a reason. Because some people think the rapture is going to happen over here, behind this pole. If it did, I'm going to show you in a minute, in one fell swoop, God takes his angels and he removes all the wicked from the earth. If he did that and then he lifted all us, nobody would be here to live this 1,000-year millennial reign. All right? Now, go to Daniel chapter 7 for a moment. And Revelation 16. The church is going to have her day before she gets lifted out. Don't think he's coming back for a dead church. He said he's coming back for a glorious bride. She's going to have her full age testimony during this time frame. This is where we're living right now. But she's going to come alive, the bride. She's going to be a glorious bride. She's going to display the glory of God. And God's going to take his harvest field as far as he can with the church. And the age of the Gentiles will be over. He'll lift us up. And then he's going to fulfill that 70th week of Daniel during this time. But he's having his witness threaded all the way through. In fact, one of the greatest harvests is during this time frame. All right, you ready? Now let's get into the battle of Armageddon. How many of you ever heard of Armageddon? Armageddon is that 7th year. Daniel 7, verse 25, speaking of the Antichrist, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given to his hand a time and dividing a time. Time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and a dividing of times a half a year. 3.5 years. This is speaking specifically of this time frame right here. Has to be, because during this time frame, the Antichrist is at peace with Israel. The world's going crazy. But Antichrist is at peace with Israel for the first 3.5 years because he brokered the treaty. So during this time, the devil gets thrown out and all this stuff gets released. Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. You know what that's speaking of? How long was he given? 3.5 years. Right? Started right in the middle. Not 3.5 years in one day. He's going to give exactly 3.5 years. Because it says God takes Israel, the woman, and he hides her in the wilderness for 3.5 years. During this time, he takes Israel and hides her. I'm going to show you that in a minute. That's important. So the judgment's going to sit on this 7th year, and God's going to take away the dominion. Now, he's going to do that at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, the Battle of Armageddon is going to commence with what's called the sixth bowl. But there's 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. Seven seals that the Lord himself opens, starts on the first part of the tribulation. Those seals are released throughout. Then there are seven trumpets that get released. And then in the last, there's seven bowls. See, bowls are vials. These final seven, they are the greatest of all wrath. The sixth and the seventh actually prepare the way for the battle of Armageddon. Now, these are listed in chapter 16. Let me tell you what they are, the first five. All these lead up to the battle of Armageddon. Seven vials. Vial number one, grievous sores, boils, ulcers fall upon all who receive the mark of the beast. So everyone's got that mark. They're constantly tormented with grievous sores and boils and ulcers. Vial number two, he turns the sea into blood. And it said, all living things die in the sea. Could you imagine you go out to the sea and it's all blood and the dead fish, everything's dead. Vial number three, he takes the rivers and the living fountains, turns them into blood. These angels are seven angels that release these, turns all the rivers and fountains into blood. Isn't that crazy? Number four, power was granted for the sun to scorch men with fire, burn them alive standing there. The sun, you know, you talk about ozone layers, going to remove the ozone layer. And the fury of the sun is going to get released during this 3.5 year period. The fourth one is judgment gets released on that very seat or the throne of the beast, because the beast is going to be a world power. Sometimes these world powers have a tendency to hide. They're not going to hide from this stuff. Actually, this confusion, the Bible says, and darkness and soreness and gnashing of teeth gets released upon his throne and everyone around him. Can you imagine being ruling from a seat or a throne and all these people around you in this government and all this stuff breaks out, this gnashing of teeth that's constantly in this darkness and this sore travail upon them. That's the fifth bowl. Now the sixth bowl is what we want to look at, because this is paving the way for the battle of Armageddon. So this is where we're going to pick it up. I want you to look at Revelation 16, verse 12. I'm telling you all this for a reason. I'm not just going into all this judgment. I'm going to show you what's going to happen, very specifically what I'm leading you to. Now, during all this time, the 144,000 witnesses, don't take that mark! Don't take that mark! Receive the Lord and die. I'm leading to this time frame, this 1,000-year millennial reign, which glory to God. Revelation 16, verse 12, and the sixth angel, so this is the sixth of the seven vials, I've showed you the first five, poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon's the devil, the beast is the Antichrist, and the false prophet. These spirits are with them, and they go and they deceive the kings of the east and say, go to battle with us against Jerusalem. That's where all the east, 200 million man army. Only China can do that, by the way. Conglomerate an army like that. And the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the devil go and convince them, go to war. And so this angel dries up the river Euphrates so they can all cross over. Getting ready. Verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of the God Almighty. Verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. That's where it's all going to take place, in the valley there. Verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his vial. Now here's the seventh vial. And there came a great voice in the temple of heaven and the throne saying, it is done. There are voices, thunders, lightnings, and earthquakes. This voice, this seventh, is actually the day of the battle of Armageddon. It gets released that day. And there's voices and thunders and an earthquake that splits Jerusalem in two. When he comes, that's preparing for the battle. Now go to Revelation 19. Let's look at this battle for a moment. Okay, so you see the vials poured out. Now the battle of Armageddon starts. The king, the whole world's coming at Jerusalem and is surrounding Jerusalem with the armies. 200 million men army coming out of China, coming towards. This time they're not going to fight against men. Jesus himself is coming with 10,000 times 10,000. He's going to obliterate them all in one day. Revelation 19, verse 11. This chapter describes the battle of Armageddon. I saw in heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true and righteous. He doth judge and make war. And his eyes, look at this, were a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. The ones that ride closest to him are the ones that rode closest to him on the earth. The ones that ride in the back are the ones that rode far back on the earth. You're going to be as close to God there as you are to him here. Let him that have ears to hear what I just said. God is going to release his apostolic bride before we get lifted out. We get to have our witness. Because he's come back for a glorious bride. We're going to display his glory and splendor. He's going to have a mass harvest before the tribulation. He's going to have a mass harvest during the tribulation. But that final day, the battle of Armageddon, some very interesting things happen. The Lord comes. All of Revelation there is speaking of it. Revelation 19, verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword to smite the nations. They rule them with a rod of iron. Verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. These are the kings we read about in chapter 16. Verse 19. The kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him and deceived and had received the mark of the beast and worship his image. Look at this. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire. When the Lord comes that seventh year, he comes with 10,000 times 10,000. The first thing he does is jerk the Antichrist. He's a man, by the way. He's inhabited by the devil. He takes the Antichrist and he takes the false prophets, lifts them up alive. Doesn't kill them, but takes them up alive by the hands of angels, probably, or the Lord himself grabs them. I don't know, but I'm going to be there to watch it. It says they're taken alive. Probably the Lord's going to do it. He might call us to do it. Say, grab him. I said, I will be glad to grab him. You take the false prophet. You take the Antichrist. Throw him in. We'll be fighting whoever gets to grab him. I said, don't even touch him. He's mine. They're going to swoop down on those, going to grab them up alive, and he's going to cast them both in the lake of fire alive. Those are men inhabited by the devil that are going to die like that. You imagine everybody being thrown into a volcano in the middle of that lava? That's what it's going to be like, alive, thrown in. That's probably going to be reserved for the Lord. Don't you know? He says, nah, this one's mine. This is my time with him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I guarantee the Lord's going to grab him up. I don't even think he's going to let an angel do it. He's going to do it himself. Jerk and throw them in alive. Next verse, there should not have been a chapter 20 here. They shouldn't have broke this chapter up. That was the final verse. He throws them in alive. In the late. Burning with fire and brimstone. It should have been verse 21, but go chapter 20, verse 1. It's a continuance here because, see, the devil, he takes him now. Looks what he does with him. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit in a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Took him and bound him into a bottomless pit. He doesn't get thrown in the lake of fire like the other two do. He does later, 1,000 years later, but he gets bound for 1,000 years. This is very important because this begins now the millennial reign. Now, what happens with all everybody else? What happens with all the people on the earth? Show you something here. Most people that are born again during this time die in the Lord. Probably 97, 98%. So you got these people that are receiving the Lord and dying. And you have a whole world full of the mark of the beast. Many of them are getting slaughtered just from the plagues. But they were coming up. He takes the Antichrist. He takes the false prophet. And he throws them into the lake of fire. Right? What happens to everybody else got the mark of the beast? What about that huge battle? He calls the fowls of the air. You can read about it. In that same chapter, he calls the fowls there. He says, come, feast upon the flesh of kings. They're all going to die that day. But there's still many in all the nations that didn't go to that battle. They're still holding that mark. The same day, exactly 7 years, the Lord comes in. He casts the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire. He takes the devil, binds him 1,000 years. Now you still have a remnant of the world that have the mark of the beast that didn't go to that battle. What happens? God clears the evil out the same day. You want me to show it to you? Go to Matthew 13. Now, this is the parable of the wheat and tares. This will make sense to you now. I'll show the exact time frame this is going to happen. Matthew 13, verse 37. He answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed, he's explaining this parable, is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth him is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, the battle of Armageddon. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, and it shall be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, verse 41, and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. You see that? Verse 42, and shall cast them in the furnace of fire. So he takes all these, he sends his angels and he gathers out all that have done iniquity. All that's left after the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown in the lake of fire, God sends his angels and says, remove the iniquity of the earth. Everyone carrying that mark, remove them from the earth. Isn't that powerful? It doesn't say he removes the righteous. He removes the wicked in one fell swoop. Look at verse 49. It shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Now, actually, this is spoken of in the book of Revelation. These angels are actually the scribes. If you'll go to Revelation 14, let's look at this. Revelation 14, we're going to look at this parable actually get fulfilled. It happens on that final day. But he describes the angels. Revelation 14, verse 17. And another angel, verse 17, came out of the temple, which is in heaven. This is the time they were getting commissioned. See, he's describing their commission all the way to that final day. This is when the 144,000 got commissioned. But then John sees these angels come in. He's seeing this panoramic view of the final 3.5 years, what happens. Well, I'll tell you exactly when these angels get released. You want to see it? All right. Another angel came out of the altar, verse 18. Had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him, had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. These are not the good grapes. These are the bad grapes. Verse 19. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. You see the vine of the earth? You know what he's saying there? The vine of the earth is everyone that's left in the earth that bore the mark of the beast. The angels release. The same ones that were spoken of in Matthew. Here it's happening. Right in the book of Revelation, he says, send them now and remove all the iniquity of the earth. Remove everybody that's got that mark. Boy, you better know the Lord. You see it? Verse 20, and the winepress was trodden without the city, so he gathered them, and blood, look at this. This tells you the day it happens. Blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles. See that? By the space of 1,600 furlongs, about 180 miles. You know what that was saying? For the space of 180 miles, blood will run as high as the horse bridle. Rivers of blood. When God removes the iniquity, do you know what that's describing? The battle of Armageddon. The day that commences when Jesus is casting the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. The angels are removing the iniquity of the earth. Is that awesome or what? God cleanses everything. Jesus then sets up his millennial reign in the earth right here. Just cleansed. Now, what happens? Who's left? All the iniquity. Some people say, well, that's when the rapture comes, when the Lord comes. Okay, so the angels are going to remove all the wicked, right? And then the Lord's going to remove all the righteous. Who's going to live in the millennial reign? Who's here? There's nobody left. The rapture happens back there. But there are people that are living, and they actually live through this time. I've got to make this point. Some of you are on overload. I can see it. But I got to make this. There are saints that live through the tribulation. Not many. Now get this point. All the wicked are removed at this point right here. The 7-year point, right? Most of the ones that receive the Lord die. Who's left? Well, we know the Revelations 12, we looked at this last week. Remember that he took Israel and he nourished her for a time when the Antichrist was given power. He removed Israel. The woman fled and he nourished her for a time, times and half a time. For the 3.5 years, he protected her somewhere in the wilderness. She's still living. With 144,000 possibly are still living, right? I want you to go to Zechariah 14 just for a moment. We're going to close with this. So who's living? We know the rapture can't take place here. If the rapture took place, everybody's gone, right? There'll be nobody going to the 1,000 years. The 1,000-year millennial reign is a beautiful time. There's going to be people with glorified bodies, and they're ruling and reigning with the Lord in the earth, and there's going to be natural people like you and I now that live through the tribulation, very few, but God's going to repopulate it in a brand new environment with no wars, where the lion's going to lay down with a lamb, where everything, the lions go back to eating straw. They don't eat meat. Nothing's tearing. Nothing's dying anymore. Everything's multiplying, and the Lord himself is reigning in that 1,000-year reign over here. And you're reigning with him in a glorified body, but there are going to be natural people on the earth that are procreating and multiplying. You get to reign with the Lord, and he's going to set up his millennial government for 1,000 years. But I'm going to show you in this scripture that people live through this time. Zechariah 14, are you there? Look at verse 2. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. This is talking about the battle of Armageddon. Zechariah prophetically was looking into it. Verse 3, and then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations. And when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives. That's his second coming. That's the battle of Armageddon. When he comes back with his 10,000 times 10,000, he stands on the Mount of Olives. He takes back the world. All that we describe happening here, right? All right, so it's going in. Now look at verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Did you hear that? There were some ones that were left. And they're going to go into the millennial reign and begin multiplying again. And the nations are going to come to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. Isn't that glorious? They're coming to worship the Lord. all nations will come and he will set up his millennial government for 1,000 years. And then the devil is going to get turned loose again at the end of the 1,000 years. And you know what? All those people know the Lord in the beginning of that 1,000 years because he removed the evil. But at the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says the devil is going to harness the nations again, and he's going to bring them all against Jerusalem. And he's going to meet his final demise. Because the Lord himself is going to destroy that whole army with fire when they march against Jerusalem. And he's going to take the devil and he's going to throw him into the lake of fire with all the rest of them.